Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Today, we are thrilled to welcome Sarah Locke, founder and leader of Locke's Promise, a nonprofit born from her own MS journey that stands for one big idea. No one living with MS should ever feel alone. Professionally, Sarah brings nearly two decades of experience in partner marketing and digital strategy, and she also serves on the National MS Society's New Hampshire Council. With Locke's Promise, through events like Climb the Peak for MS, Rides and Wranglers for MS, and community-driven initiatives, she's built spaces where people living with MS can connect, uplift one another, and find strength together. Sarah is also the author of Living Out Loud. It's a bold memoir about finding her voice, facing life's hard challenges with honesty, and showing us all what it means to live authentically. From coming out later in life to navigating an MS diagnosis with humor, courage, and heart. We couldn't be more excited to dig in with Sarah today. And honestly, Sarah, thank you so much and welcome to the show.
Oh, it is an honor. Thank you so much for both inviting me. This is going to be great.
Yes.
Jennifer was asking, because it's like, we've never actually met face to face, and we were tracing back like where and we first connected you. This was in like the Dragon group. Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. Dragon Claws.
Yes. And that's been for years. And it's just like, I think that's the beauty of groups like that and just connecting online, just how you just form the friendships, because I just feel like we've been buddies for life forever.
Right. I always say, like, one of the silver linings of having a chronic illness is meeting all of the amazing people that are in the fight daily with you. You know, I would have never actually imagined, had I not been diagnosed with MS, that, you know, I would meet some of these amazing people that also have MS that are fighting for the cause. So,
yeah. And that is, like you said, a silver lining. And Dan and I often comment about where the disease has taken us, literally, but then friendship wise, we've met so many people and shared our story and they've shared ours. And you have an amazing story, and that's why we're excited. So I'm going to stop talking.
It is. I mean, you've got such a great story. And I think, you know, we can talk like diagnosis and everything, but I think really it'll all come out, I don't want to say in the wash or in the conversation, but I think for you, as we have discussed, you said that like here the first part of February is 1 year for Locke's Promise?
Yeah.
What can you tell everybody about this? Because I think it's incredible.
We are so excited. I was fundraising and trying to raise awareness for multiple sclerosis in the state of New Hampshire for 4 years with the National MS Society. And I sort of kept hitting walls on people wouldn't sponsor my events or help pay for the events because I didn't have a W-9. I didn't have a 990.
Oh.
And I kept trying to use the National MS Societies, which I could sometimes, but other times for bigger sponsors, it needed to be something from Sarah Locke. And I sat down, you know, I think this time last year, and I said, I need to become my own nonprofit. And that can't be hard, right?
It can't, can it?
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yes, it can. It was incredibly frustrating trying to find even like an attorney or a lawyer that even knew how to start the paperwork for a nonprofit. Going on the IRS's website is super fun. and I just overwhelmed myself. So I decided I was going to hire a company to do it. And I did. I went online. I found one. I had a few phone calls with them. They sounded trustworthy. They had a great protection of all they're doing for you. And it was money back guaranteed if you didn't get your, you know, EIN number and your tax exemption. So it was 6 weeks of paperwork that I did.
Ouch.
And they took care of it all. I had to obviously physically go into the state of New Hampshire and claim myself and submit the paperwork, pay all the fees. And then it was a waiting game. And we'd filed it February 3rd, but it was June of last year before I actually got the letter from the IRS saying you're a real girl.
Wow.
And it's obviously post-date or predated to February 3rd of when we dated it. So yeah, we're February 3rd, or we're 1 year old in February 3rd. And what we have been able to do in this past year blows my mind. And it's just, imagine what we can do year after year after year. And it's just impacting people's lives right here in New Hampshire. But what I learned as I went is I don't have to run campaigns through the National MS Society and try to hope that it goes toward research, because it's in their Walk Your Way campaign. And I don't really have pull on where that goes. They get to choose. Yep. Now it's nonprofit writing a check to a nonprofit. So I get to say, this goes toward research. And they have to do it because I'm a major donor as a nonprofit. And I was like, oh, really? Because that's one thing I can't touch. I can't do the research. I can't fund research in like directly. Mm-hmm. And my whole thing since I was diagnosed is I need to find a cure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we've donated over $100,000 in the last 4 years through our Climb the Peak event. And now that we're a nonprofit, the Climb the Peak event will all go to the National MS Society still, but direct lined for research.
For the research. So then tell us and tell the listeners, you say since you were diagnosed, what was that like? How long you been diagnosed and how'd that happen? How'd you find out? What led to that?
Well, I woke up one morning and couldn't feel from my chest down. And it was incredible. I'd been, hiking the 4,000 footers in New Hampshire. I was doing Spartan races, if you know what those are. They're obstacle course races,
totally. Up
big mountains through mud, right?
Yep.
And best shape of my life. And I went to Texas, August of 2019. And August in Texas is somewhere you don't want to be. It was 112 degrees. And I remember I posted on Facebook, it is too hot for Sarah Locke here. I was sweating from behind my knees. I was like, I've never sweat down the back of my leg before.
Wow.
And I was in air conditioning the whole time. I mean, I was obviously, but I had to leave the buildings and to go in between because I went from work. And I got home and I hiked the next day, a small mountain in Massachusetts with some work buddies. And the next morning on Sunday, I was laying on the couch, reading the news, watching the news, reading the paper, doing whatever you do. And I went to stand up and I hit the floor like I fell. And wow. It was sort of like, what the heck? And I stood up and I sort of stood there for a minute. I was like, no, I can't feel my legs.
Wow.
And I started hitting them and they were numb. Like I could feel them with my hands. I could feel that I was hitting them with my legs, but I couldn't feel them. And then the belting feeling around my core. And I was like, man, did I blow a blood clot on the airplane? Like, I'm like, well, I'm healthy. It was 6 hours. I didn't go to the UK. Like I didn't,
Yeah.
So I was sort of perplexed. And for a week, I did yoga. I did water exercises because I'm next to a pond. I took it easy, but did stretches, Pilates and so on. And it got worse. So I said, okay, I got to call my PCP. And my PCP had gone through the weight loss journey with me. I'd lost 100 pounds to become this amazing fit person of myself. And so she was aware that, I was fit, trim, and doing all this stuff. And it was 15 minutes of telling her my symptoms. And she looked at me and said, you either have Lyme, lupus, or MS.
Wow.
Welcome to the world of the autoimmune, correct?
Yeah. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, no. Like, no. And she's like, well, Lyme, because you're outside all the time and maybe you get a tick bite you didn't know. I was like, no, I do tick checks. Like that is, I hate those creepy little things. And lupus, it did run in my family, but it was on a marital side, not directly mine. And MS, I knew maybe one person that had MS. And I was like, okay, what do we do? Right. And she's like, well, I'll, do the Lyme panel today, the full Lyme panel. And let's get you in for some MRIs. And I think I got scheduled 3 days later. Awesome scheduling.
Right.
And I wasn't home from my first thoracic. And she was calling me saying, Sarah, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have demyelinization at your T2.
Mm.
And I said, in English, what does that mean? Right. Because then I don't know what that means. And she's like, so faulty wiring right in between your chest plate. So it's right where your numbness starts. You have multiple sclerosis. Here's the number to neurology.
Wow.
And that was, I cried. That was, shut up, right? I can't feel my legs right now. They're getting worse by the day. And now I've got MS diagnosed and I don't know anything about anything. And the most fearful thing I always tell my daughter is knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And being, you know, when you don't know, being scared is your first defense, right? It's just,
yeah.
And angry and mad. And when I called neurology, mind you, it is now end of August. I went in August 17th-ish. It's end of August. And neurology tells me that they're booking out to October. What? I can't feel my legs now. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. We have October. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, sure, put me down. And then I said, hey, by the way, who's the best neurologist in my driving range? And they said, well, for MS, it's Dr. Ann Cabot, and she's right across the hall. But she's not taking new patients. I said, we'll see. And overnight, I became an advocate that I didn't even think advocacy worked. Right? I was like, I'm gonna call them every morning at 8 a.m. and I'm going to say, my name is Sarah Locke. You have my file. I'm a success story. I just need Ann to look at it. And every morning, starting that following Monday, I called Ann Cabot's office and I said, this is Sarah Locke. I know you know me. you know, I want Ann to see my file. And Thursday afternoon, my phone rings. I'm working and it isn't the call center. It isn't a nurse. It isn't a scheduling person. Hi, this is Dr. Ann Cabot. I heard you wanted me to give you a call.
Boom. Wow.
I cried. I was just like, oh my God, I got the real doctor on the phone. And she's like, I've looked at your file and what are you doing tomorrow? Whatever you want me to do. and, you know, I met with her cohort, Georgia. She said, I will swap off. I'll be in. I'll see you. But, you know, officially, I'm not taking new patients. So you'll see Georgia. And I went in and it was just so calming to one have smiling faces, just being like, it's okay. We got you. And hearing we got you doesn't seem like a lot, but it was everything in that moment. And they took the time to just go through my MRIs and to walk me through what it meant to have MS and that it's not a death sentence, right? And it's not something that we can't handle. Just we have to change that new normal probably more often than we want to. And it just, it was amazing, right? And it was, nobody says their diagnosis was amazing, but one, it is now September 4th. August 17th, three and a half weeks, I was diagnosed, like officially.
Wow.
And like getting all my vaccines and everything in me before, you know, we started something and I got to pick, you know, what drug I wanted. And, you know, the worst part is telling my young daughter, right, who saw me crying that day and started crying herself. And, you know, that, you know, mommy's going to have limits. And having her empathize with that and then understand. I think that's hard. I think even now, you know, it's been 7 years, she's 16 now. It's sort of like when I ask for help, it's like, I hate asking for help. And when I ask for help, it really means I need help. And for her at 16 to be like, not roll your eyes, walk away, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a bit of the challenge, but yeah, that was the diagnosis. And from that moment on, I said, I need one to raise awareness in this dang state of New Hampshire, because nobody knows about it. Two, you know, I can't sit still on this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what I'm going to do, but, I'm not going to be quiet. And I think, you know, I was at a restaurant waiting for the results from my cervical and my, brain MRIs. And I was with a close friend who's a nurse. And I said, why me? You know, 'cause I spiraled for the first couple of weeks I was diagnosed. And you know, why me? Why did I lose all this weight? Why did I do all of this to become the best version of myself for my daughter? Because she was a high-risk pregnancy. I lucked out that she, you know, I was able to give birth. But it was just like, I want to be everything I can be for her. And now, you know, Mother Nature and God are working against me again. And she looked right at me, and at the time it meant nothing. And it was sort of like, because he knew that you were the kind of person that's going to go to the top of a mountain and scream as loud as you can to make people hear you about MS.
Wow, that's powerful. And
right?
And what a good message for those of us in the MS community to remember that not why me, but, you know, that there is a purpose and, you know, motivation. So thank you for sharing that.
That's yeah, huge. Absolutely. So then at that point, I mean, so because I think when we met you, we knew of Climb the Peak. It's just like, so was what your friend told you like the inspiration for what you wanted to do with that?
Well, so it grew from that, right? So she was a hiking friend of mine. We used to hike. Well, the first thing I wanted to do after I got the feeling back in my legs, because Anne said I'd get feeling back in my legs, and I did. I got the steroid infusions for 5 days, and she said, give it 30. And 30 days later, after PT and OT, I could feel my legs. I could walk. I was normal again, you know, air quotes. And I said, I want to hike Mount Washington. And my hiking tribe looked at me like, are you a freaking moron? Like, that's the highest peak in New England. And we've had it on our bucket list, but we weren't going to actually do it, right? And I was like, but what would it be to check that off my list while attaching it to a National MS Society Facebook fundraising page and tell my story as I go? I said, I don't have a lot of followers. I probably had 500 followers at the time. And I said, but I've got a story to tell and I want to tell it. So, you know, five of them were like, yeah, let's do it. I had a friend come up for Mass. It was one COVID, right in the middle of COVID. I was
Of course.
3 months before COVID. I was wearing a mask before they were cool. And they all quarantined. And then we stayed in a condo up near Mount Washington the night before. So we got good rest and we were ready and we could leave on time because it's average to take 7 to 14 hours, depending on your ability.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we've done 7, we've done 10 hours. And I was like, okay, we can do this. Mind you, I haven't done any hiking because I lost the feeling in my legs. I was not prime, trim, and proper for this at all. And I had my friend who's a nurse with me, and I had my comic relief when my, you know, fun goes away, she could step in and help carry the attitude up the hill. And I had a relief vehicle that was going to meet me at the top just in case I got to the top and was in no shape to try to descend. And we took off at 5:30 in the morning, and it was June, and it was not fun weather. Right. And I'd packed a rock that a friend had painted for me, a local artist, and it was a orange feather on one side. And it was a sizable rock, probably fit, you know, in a grasped hand. And I put it in my pack and I wrote FUMS on the back. And I said, I got to leave this on this mountain somewhere because I have to unload this news of my diagnoses. Like, I can't let this weigh me down.
Yeah.
And when we got to a specific spot where there's a beautiful little pond and you could see the reflection of the summit in it, I said, this is it. And I left that rock and I cried a tear and I continued to the summit. And when we summited, the photos are so ugly of me summiting because I am crying. Because one, I never thought I'd get there in real life, let alone MS life. And the relief vehicle is like, hey, how you doing? I was like, great. He's like, driving up this really sucks. There's no railing.
Wow.
And it's a steep climb. And I did drive it in my Jeep, and it definitely is an experience driving it. It's actually scarier than hiking it. And I said, no, I'm gonna descend. I'm gonna do this. We're taking an easier trail down. A little longer route, but it'll be a less of a, you know, hassle and less rocks and whatever. So we start, and the last mile and a half was dicey. I ended up being mildly carried with two people on either side of me with my arms over them. Definitely weak, spasticity in my legs real bad. Didn't realize that, you know, what MS actually does, right? I knew I had it. I didn't know what it actually does when you push yourself. Learned it quick.
I was going to say lesson learned.
Yeah, right, quick. We got to the bottom and, you know, my relief vehicle guy is like, one, everybody on Facebook is blowing up. They want to know where you are. Because when I do my Spartan races, you actually have a tag on you and it actually tells them GPS wise where you are. And I didn't have that on me, obviously. And he said, but I got to tell you, you've raised over $10,000.
Wow. Yay. That's incredible.
He's like, what? And I guess people really just reshared the posts and spread the word. And people were just astonished that one, this healthy, amazing, strong woman now has MS. And they couldn't believe it. Like, this jaw dropping. Some people, you know, and
yeah.
Why you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm the lucky one. But that is what stemmed into the Climb the Peak event. I said, if one person, five of us, right? It was just, but one person fundraising can make $10,000. Imagine if I could get 20. Yeah. Imagine if I could get 40, 100, right? So that's what I did. And 2 years later, I got the Pat's Peak. I live 8 minutes off of it. I used to, you know, pull tires up it with a harness, and I trained for all my Spartan races there. I ski there. I hike there. I do everything. And I was like, why not? So I asked the marketing director, and she's like, a Sunday in May? Sure. And black fly season here in New Hampshire, and they'll carry you away like pterodactyl.
Oh, fun.
So they weren't selling any weddings that time. But I had 28 people show up my first year, and we had like a, you know, a friend who had DJ stuff as a DJ, and we had like a little raffle going with like maybe 16 items. And somebody had who had MS, she wrote a book. So she was signing her book off to the side. And we made $16,000. I said, okay, more than 10,
yeah.
Not bad.
Wow.
So I asked if we could move it to June away from Mother's Day. And could it be the first full weekend in June? And it's remained the first weekend in June for the last 2 years. The second year was raining. Like, I'm not, torrential downpour rain. And I was like, oof. 78 people showed up with trash bags, parkas.
Wow.
I don't melt. And we had a bigger raffle. Sponsors. That was the year I actually got big sponsors involved, local companies, but then like the bank, the local bank, and it was paid for. So the first year was Sarah was out money because I didn't have any sponsors. And I want free t-shirts. We're used to free t-shirts at the end of Spartan races and, you know, a beer. Well, it was free t-shirts and a gluten-free cupcake. And it's been that way since the whole, you know, the start. But that 78 people raised $32,000.
Wow.
I said, okay, all right. Right. This is adding up. And then this year we actually had 116 people, bright sunny day, professional DJ, a huge pavilion of our sponsor and vendor tents, huge raffle items, like a fire pit with all the supplies for s'mores was donated by a fire company that was sponsoring us. And I got $700. So people are investing, people are taking the time, people are making sort of the time, their brain, right? Open it up and learn something about MS. And then people that did the National MS Society's Walk Manchester that they have learned about us, and a few came and they were like, oh my gosh, like this is awesome. Like this is something we want to stand behind and get behind. And it was just, it felt great. And in that time, right, it's June. We haven't got our letter yet because we got it at the end of June. But I'm a real girl, sort of. I did announce Locke's Promise, and we cut the ribbon for officially being, you know, a company, a nonprofit in New Hampshire. Big woots and hollers. And you do the math for 2025, and we got $42,000.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So wow, that's
one
really.
Event in little Henniker, New Hampshire, at a small mountain, you know, and I had one of my sponsors is TG Therapeutics. They create Bramvi, one of the MS drugs, and they came in as a low sponsor last year, but they were there and they were like, this is amazing. What do you need from us? And I pointed at the lift and I said, I need that to run because my dream is to have this mountain and this event completely accessible. I have half of this audience cannot get up this hill because they're in walkers, rollators, or wheelchairs. I said, I have a walking path for them, but it is not the experience of seeing the view and feeling like you got to the top of this mountain. And they said, done.
Wow.
And just this week, we signed paperwork that they're going to be the sponsor to run that lift.
That is wow. How do you follow that, Dan?
Yeah, you don't. Well, because then I'm wondering then, thinking that, you know, when talking about Locke's Promise and everything you did to build up to get to this point, but it's like, you know, when you talked about filling out the paperwork and doing everything and so frustrating, what kept you going at that time? Where I'd be like, you know, nobody else knew about this. I'm just going to be done. I'll just fundraise on my own in other ways. I don't need to do this company. What kept you going?
it's the six people we were able to help directly in the state of New Hampshire this year. In the last 2 months of being, you know, here, we actually had enough money after getting, like, one, when you're a nonprofit, you need insurance. You need, right, a lawyer. You need an accountant. You need all these official roles that cost money. And the first half of the year, it was Sarah Locke's money going toward it. And we were finally actually bringing in the funds after even donating $10,000 to the Elliott Hospital. We created an MS Promise Fund where anybody going through their MS clinic that says, I can't do my MRIs because my deductibles and I can't afford them, Locke's Promise handles that. Anybody who says, I can't do that because I can't afford it, Locke's Promise is going to cover for them. So there isn't no anymore. It's how do I get to a yes? And Locke's Promise is going to get you to that yes. So we have that fund set up at the Elliott Hospital where they just developed a new MS clinic with Ann Cabot and her team. And we're totally grateful to be part of that relationship. But then we gave, you know, the $42,000 to the National MS Society, and we still had a chunk of change in the bank. So we opened up our grants and I said, we can help you people. What do you need? And grants started flowing in, and it was everything from, I need a role later. And I'm like, tell me your story, right? Let's connect. Well, I want one that, you know, I can stand up so I don't look old. And I laughed because most of the people with MS, you know, they're older that need these tools. And I went and I said, okay, well, send me three that you like. And she sent me three, and I said, oh my gosh, yeah. Which one is your favorite? And she's like, that one. I love that one. And I said, I'm going to order it. I'm going to put a 3-year warranty on it. I'm going to put it together, and I'm going to deliver it to your home. And she said, that would be amazing. I met this woman, and one, she was on the first level apartment because of her disability. The door automatically opened because of her disability, and a young mom walked around the corner, and her little 5-year-old, I think maybe she was 5, comes running out and super excited that this lady's here with this device for you. And she had one of the gray nursing home walkers, and she kicked it aside, and I showed her how this worked and how the brakes work and everything. And she stepped up behind it and walked across her apartment. And I was like, oh my God, like, that's awesome. Yeah. And that is why, that's what kept me going, right? The whole time is, I am directly, Locke's Promise is directly seeing the impact of money. MS is expensive. You both know, right?
Totally.
You just, and a lot of people are just on SSDI, and there's no extra. There's nothing for me to be able to do anything. And I want to be able to help people. And, you know, she was just one. Others, we wrote out checks to cover medical bills and to cover just PT and little things that add up. I said, let's do the math for 3 months. We'll cut you a check for that. One gentleman said he had to move back in with his ailing, aging mom, and he's got MS and he's older, and he had to move away from all of his friends, and he sort of got depressed, and he's riding an e-bike to work, and it's November when he reached out, and I said, what do you need? He's like, well, I've been trying to buy a car for several years, but nobody will do a down payment, and I can't pay enough up front. I just need somebody to lift me up so I can lift myself up. I said, that's Locke's Promise. And we put a down payment on a 1995 BMW for him.
Oh, wow.
And he couldn't have been happier. 1995. Yeah. Right? We're not buying new cars. We're not buying whole cars. We're helping somebody feel like they have value and purpose again. That is the feeling. The hug I got from him, it made me cry. It was just so tight and so strong and so thankful. And let's live our best lives while we have MS. Why not? Mm-hmm. And there's so many that struggle, especially north in New Hampshire, you know, Lakes region up. They don't have neurologists. They don't have the doctors that we have access to in the cities of Manchester and Concord, is what I'm saying, right? I need to reach them. What do they need? Do they need transportation? I'm trying to get a transport that will drive the 3-hour drive and you back after your appointments. Let's make a day of it. What do you need to do? That's what Locke's Promise is. We want to reach the top, bottom sides of New Hampshire and be able to hit as many people as we can and touch them in ways that make them feel like they're living their best life while having MS.
And that's wonderful and powerful and fantastic. So all kinds of special. But how do you yourself, Sarah, living with multiple sclerosis, this is amazing. And I'm sure it fills your heart and fills your tank. But for those of us out there living with the disease that are in awe of all you do, how do you keep yourself going, or what share? Is that fair to say?
I was going to say, well, it's just like when all is said and done. I mean, Sarah, you have the disease and you're living with this. Where do you find the energy?
I'm medicated. No.
Heavily, right?
It's definitely medication has helped. But it is, I'm the kind of person that when I'm sitting still, even when my body says I have to sit still, I feel useless. And November, December, I started to really get down because people were telling me I have to slow down. I have to stop. But me slowing down and stopping takes the light out. I can't. So I came back better than ever in January, more medicated because I do. I need help. I mean, I break that stigma for sure, especially with MS and the anxiety that I have and the depression that we have. And I do sound like a fun person. And if you look me up on social media, I am amazing. And I'm depressed, right? Like, I am depressed. I go through my doubts. I go through my hard times. What doesn't hit the social media is the days that I'm just down. I'm out. Like, I'm in bed. And you have to take those days. And I realized that. I got a new app that it's a wearable app that I have that speaks to my phone. And it's funny because Ann said, does it have an electrical prod that tells you to stop? Because it tells me, it's sort of like the spoon theory, but in HBVs and your energy levels. But it tells me at like 9 o'clock, you're going to go over today, because it can sense the energy that I'm eluding already, that it's going to be a big day. But it just means the next day has to be slower. The next day has to be a little slower, and then I can pick it up again.
So you're really listening.
I have to listen and then regulate and make sure, like, it is a fine line. Like, learning the disease and how it impacts me directly is different for you, is different for somebody else with MS. Right. Mm-hmm. And the more stress I have, the less I have to slow down, the more I have to slow down. January 10th, we had a huge open board meeting for Lox Promise where I invited people in saying, hey, hi, I am one person and I need help. And we got in a governance board member, and we got in a grants writing board member, and we got in somebody who wants to do side events besides our three big events. I want to do cornhole tournaments and fun ones that just happen on a weekend, right? And just to be able to have that help. And I got a comms team together that they actually put our newsletter together for me and, you know, write them, put them together, mail them out. I have somebody who handwrites our holiday card and sent out all of our sponsor letters, because my big thing is there is a person on the end of that email. There's a person on the end of that phone or mail. So when you call us, somebody picks up. When you get a letter from us, somebody handwrote that, and it couldn't keep being me. One, my handwriting is atrocious, right? But when I say it out loud or I put it on Facebook, people step forward. And I needed to start saying yes. When they said, how can I help? I had to start listing off things and let people volunteer to help, which is a big thing for me. I don't give up tasks well. So knowing Lox Promise can't be run by one person. There are five other board members, and they're amazing at helping, but they all have day jobs, much like myself. So it's really, where is that balance? How do we grow the team in a positive manner where we can continue to grow? Maybe not at the rate we grew this past year. I mean, that was, you know, tumbleweed on fire down a mountain. But we landed on our feet. We still had money in the bank. And the awareness that we were able to get out with the press coverage, radio ads, you know, newspapers, it's sort of like, where do we have to be? Where do I put ourselves? You know, but I was at an event. It was one of those street fairs, and it was December. It was freezing. And I was with my partner, and we're driving out there. And I'm like, I had a volunteer. He comes and he is sort of like my ox. He just unloads the car, sets it up, and waits for me to say, put it back. And I love him because I can't do that, right? That'll take too much out of me. But me standing under a tent telling my story can get us money and awareness. So that's my forte. But I said, wouldn't it be great that at any event, somebody's like, is she coming? Is she coming? And I literally am just the founder of Locke's Promise. And I show up and wave, right? Yeah. But it is a well-oiled machine and just running itself. That's my hope, is that we are so well, you know, foundationed, right? And steady in what we're creating right now, that in 10 years, I'm just a face. And everybody else is sharing their story. And everybody else who has MS in the state of New Hampshire, there's 2,500 or more of us now in the state of New Hampshire that have MS. I know 60, 70 of them. I want to know all 2,500. I want to hear their stories. I want them to be proud to tell their stories and to reach out and say, yes, I need help. And that's a big part. We don't get people that want to say, I need help. They're just like me. They don't want to say, I need help.
Yeah. And that's why it's so good that they're able to connect with you, and it's able to just really make the state of New Hampshire aware of this population of people who need help, but also have so much to contribute. And it's really powerful, Sarah, that you do make those connections, because MS can be incredibly isolating, and it's nice to know that you're out there advocating for people and trying to reassure and that they're not alone, that no one's alone fighting this disease.
Well, and you said it right, Jennifer, it's isolating. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people that feel isolated, even with a house full of people around the holidays, because they're not feeling the pain of that car ride. They're not feeling the exhaustion of what you're going through. And you're just sitting there trying to go through the motions of enjoying your family, but it's exhausting you. And that's isolating. You feel alone. You need to, be with others or hear from others, at least, that get it. And Locke's Promise came up with our MS Promise Circle, and it's a private Facebook page that you can get into if you have MS in the state of New Hampshire, and there's a conversation going on in there. And it's everybody asking from, how do you get your kids to pick up after themselves and help out, which a man actually asked that, and all the ladies jumped in, right? We got cool things. But it's amazing how many people are opening up. And what are you doing with your incontinence? And it's stuff that you don't know. And when you turn onto all of the webs and ask these questions, it's really negative and it's sad. And a lot of people are just depressed and want to, you know, scream about their disease. And a lot of people are just, okay, I want to live my life. How do I do that? So we offer an online page, but we also have a virtual support group that every other Wednesday we meet and just chat. What's going on around the holidays? I did, you know, some help on how to get away from the stress, how to ease your load around the holidays. And then after the New Year's, like, who's sticking to your resolutions? Because those are dumb, right? And sort of just giving advice and helping each other through things. And what medications are you on? And do you find that it works? And what's really cool is we have a PT specialist for MS, an OT specialty for MS, and Dr. Ann Cabot in these chats. So if anything comes up, I, you know, claim that I definitely am not a doctor. I do not know. I can tell you what I'm on, but it's everybody's so unique, and how drugs and medications work for me, it's not going to work the same for you. So it's great to have that back, you know, the backing of the experts that are in there as well. So it's sort of trying to just give everything. There are live support groups. I went to one this past Tuesday and met like four of the people that are in online on my group. Two of the people that I helped, the rollator was there, and I don't want to give names, but the gentleman I helped, pay his medical bills. You know, Locke's Promise is making a difference, and people are seeing who we are out in public. I think today was the first day I wore something that wasn't LP or MS. Branded, and people were like shocked. They're like, what is this? Who I was like, you? I need to do laundry.
Yeah. And so I just wondering, do you see this having certainly ever branching out beyond New Hampshire? Or, I mean, is that something where that's like a step? Jennifer, hold your horses. I mean,
No, it was Sarah, hold your horses. So our bylaws actually say that we operate in New England, and I had to back it down to New Hampshire because that was a big bite. And we have, and I'm going to say sister nonprofit in Massachusetts. It's MSSBS New England. Mm. They're amazing. They're 11, 12 years old. They have a huge 5K they do in Drake. They do a great gala, but they have been supporting New Hampshire because they're New England for 11 years and enter Locke's Promise. And we've met and we've talked, and it's sort of like, it's a little bit of a relief for them. Like, okay, take it. Yeah, we won't step on your toes. And the president actually called me this past weekend and said, I need a chat with you. We're going through our grants and we have a lot from New Hampshire. Are you okay with that? Or do you want them? I'm like, oh, no, let's share them. But you take what you got. And it's just, it's great to have that relationship where we're not competitors. We're trying to help people with MS. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to have the same mission and for him to be so close and for their board to be understanding, is awesome. And, you know, they're going through a lot of change with their nonprofit. They had their founder stepped out because, you know, he started a family. He's, you know, he started this in college when his dad and his uncle had MS. So now he wants to start a family and do his own thing. So they sort of took in another nonprofit that was doing similar things and got a little bigger, and he just stepped out. And I'm like, how can we help? Right? How can Locke's Promise help? And they actually had a scooter, an electric scooter that they couldn't get rid of. And he's like, do you have storage for it? And do you want to give it away? Yeah, absolutely. And Locke's Promise does have a storage unit, but I put it out there and there was a gentleman who said, this actually could be a game changer for me. Do you think I'm, you know, could I see it? And my biggest thing with this scooter is an older one, 300 pounds, even in pieces, it was 100 pounds at a time. And I needed somebody who was strong enough to lift it, to get it into their car, to get it out when they were shopping, right? And this guy's problem is his legs, and he bench presses 300 pounds. So he could easily lift it up and put it in the back of his car. And I was like, you're a perfect fit for it, because nobody else has the transportation for it or the will to lift it. Mm-hmm. They all want the 40-pound ones that are light. And just today, I was a woman reached out and said, my dad recently passed away. He had MS, and he wants his electric wheelchair to go to somebody very specific in the Lakes region with a caretaker that has MS. Like the caretaker, it could be help for them, for their, you know, MS patient to have, you know, the wheelchair. And I was like, okay, so it might take me a bit, but I am open to this. And I pushed it out to Ann Cabot's office. And if we have anybody up in the Lakes region that's suffering, but like we haven't reached everywhere ourselves yet, right? So it's like, one, she's like, thank you for reaching back out to me. I have emailed and called several people and agencies trying to get them to help me find somebody who wants this. It's a brand new electric wheelchair. I said, yes, yeah. I can help you. It might take us a minute, but I can get it in front of the right people and make sure that the right audience is offered this amazing opportunity.
That's huge.
Yeah.
We're hearing from that all the time. And it's just my phone just keeps ringing or the emails keep coming in. And it's like, I need help to grow this, right? I keep saying Sarah Locke's only one person and I don't scale. So it's really, how do you document? How do you, you know, organize yourselves so others can help do that? And it is definitely a heavy lift to say we're all of New England. So we quickly backed off to New Hampshire. We'll focus on New Hampshire until we have the structure in place that can scale.
See, and that's so awesome. But, you know, as you're talking and everything that you're doing, but then the question is, Sarah, how the heck did you find time to write a book? Let's talk about Living Out Loud. I think just we've seen we need to order our copy. And I will say, just for everybody out there listening, we will have links in the show notes for everything about Locke's Promise, but then also then how you can order Sarah's book. What can you tell us about Living Out Loud and when you found the time to put something like this together?
Yeah, earlier last year, same time we were becoming a nonprofit, I was doing a talk. I believe it was a local Rotary meeting, and they had invited an author in to talk about their latest book, a local author. And I was just talking to her afterwards, telling her a little bit of my story, because she says, "What about you?" And she looked at me and she said, "You have to write a book." I said, "What?" And she goes, "No, you can't make this up. Like, your story is awesome. Like, this is inspiring. This is something that is going to be digestible by anybody, if they have a chronic illness or not. You're a real person. And just what's coming out of your mouth right now, if you can put that in writing words, I'll buy it." And I went home and I was like, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, writing a book. But then I realized I'd started therapy to decompress after I was diagnosed with MS. And I had it all written down already. I journal on my computer in a folder titled journal, just to get the thoughts out of my head, because I don't sleep well. Enter when I found time to write a book.
Yeah.
But my computer's next to the bed, and I'll write down ideas that I have, just to, you know, and I journal before bed, and then the thoughts are out of my head and I can sort of try to sleep. But 12:30, my eyes fly open. Go to bed at 9:30, no matter what time, 12:30. My eyes are open. And I said, I'm just going to do this. And I started writing, and it started just flowing. And I'm a storyteller. It's what I do. It's what I do for my job and social media, right? You digital marketing. It's, you tell a story. You market something. You tell me why. Tell me a story. So I just started writing. And I said, well, how do I? So I contacted the lady that I, you know, told me to write. I said, who's your publisher? She's like, oh my gosh, she's super amazing. You got to reach out. So I reached out, and, you know, it's going to be X amount of dollars if we help you. And I said, okay, yeah. Can we take that in installments? Mm-hmm. And they did. They were really good with me. They reduced the rate because I am a nonprofit, and all of the proceeds from my book does go back to Locke's Promise. It's stated in the book. It's a big part of it. Our logo's on it. The story of Locke's Promise is on there. All of our events is in the book, but also, you know, my story from growing up on a family farm and everything that I experienced growing up, sunstroke, heat intolerance, right? Getting mono in college. All of that was my body aligning all of the stars to one day get too hot in Texas and trigger my MS. But the story's in there, it's told, and it's, a lot of people are like, the first time I read it, the second time I read it, I was like, you've read it twice. A lot of people are tabbing the pages, because I ask questions to the reader. Do we ever have control? That's a big one for me. Unconditional love from even your family. I've lost a lot of family and a lot of friends being diagnosed with MS, because I'm not who I used to be. And she's not coming back. And, you know, the big thing I talk about is the control we don't have over our lives. And even when you think you have control, enter MS, right? Like, totally. You don't. And grieving. And if you think it sucks that I can't hike with you anymore, imagine how I feel not being able to hike anymore. Like, I grieve myself and what I'm going through on a daily basis. But grief happens in waves, and we learn to overcome, and it makes me stronger. But the book is all about, the grit and the determination it takes, right? And it's all about mind over matter. Positive mindset is a game changer. Just how do you stay there? And even I don't stay there all the time. So that's sort of, the book happened during the night. I got a publisher. They took care of the rest. I couldn't believe the way they were editing it. I was like, how are you capturing what's on page 142 and 24 and saying it needs to go together? Like, how do you review this?
Yeah.
So I was so glad that I had them. And it came out October 28th, and I've been doing air quotes book tour. And I can't believe the amount of people and the questions. And definitely in the live sessions with me, I share more than I share in the book, about my coming out, about my diagnoses. I try to keep it light and inspirational in the book. But there's a lot of tragedy that, you know, to get to one point, you have to have fallen. And, you know, it comes out. And my dad finally read the book, and I cried because it's a big part about my growing up. The first 2, 3, 4 chapters of the book is eye opening. And I told my mom, I tried to warn her because she doesn't come across in a good light. She knows she didn't come across in a good light. We both learned a little bit from it. But she finally read it and she called me the other day and she said, it's not as bad as I thought it was. I said, it's not a tell all. Like, I want people to learn from it, right? And mm-hmm. to get something from it. I really want everything I do and everything I put out is an opportunity to become a better version of yourself. And that is my whole purpose in Locke's Promise. I want you to be a better version of yourself with support that you need. How do we get that? I want you to be with the book, it was, I want you to be a better person and understand yourself in the current situation you're living. I don't care if you're, married, straight, anything. It's how do you deal with the situations that are put in front of you every day? And if it's in a negative or a down, or you're just, I can't get over this, how do you get above that? And I wanted to sort of inspire people to, it could be worse. I say that every day. I was in with urology today getting a spasticity test on my bladder, and I said, it could be worse.
It could be. And it's important to remember that. But you pay respect to the fact that, why is it this bad? And I appreciate that, that you touched on that earlier, Sarah. And I think that your book sounds like it's going to be very powerful and just a good way to reframe or to frame living with chronic illness.
It is. And I dive into sobriety, and I used to enjoy a really good whiskey neat on Wednesdays. And I loved 9-12% IPAs. But I learned that I was actually leaning on those a little heavier than I should during those down times. Alcoholic by definition, probably not. Edging on it, sure. But going, and I'm 4 years sober now this January. And
congratulations.
I can't go back, right? This is a choice that I made, and I am clearer. I'm more focused. I am able to retain more information, which with MS, we all know is a challenge. And drinking doesn't add to that. It subtracts. So I just felt lighter, and it was just like, that's a weight lifted off of me that I didn't even know was on me. So I talk about that. And then movement matters, big thing on Locke's Promise website. We have a lot of relationships with gyms and fitness and yoga and Pilates and stretch centers. But movement matters, and how I did yoga to make sure that my core was strong, because your core is what holds you up. Most of the time when your legs give out, your core being strong will help. So it's sort of just, everything matters when you have a chronic illness. Mm-hmm. The way you eat, the way you move, the way you think becomes more important. And what I really like about my neurology team is they serve the whole person. They don't treat MS, they treat the person. And that's given me a lot of knowledge on what we should care about. And it's everything. Dental care.
Yeah. And just saying that there's a lot that we should care about and a lot that we can control. And I think that is so important for those of us living with multiple sclerosis, living with this disease. It can throw a lot at you, but you also can throw a lot back, and there's a lot that's under your control.
And that's well said.
Yeah, I'm echoing what you're saying, Sarah. You really, just put a lot in perspective that way. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So just thank you. You have so much, and that is.
It's like, I want to start my own nonprofit, and I want to write a book after I talk to you, Sarah. You are so, so good. I'm just like.
Well, Dan, it's super easy, I got to say.
Yeah, it's motivating and it's powerful. And just thank you so much for sharing your story with us and letting us into the amazing work that you're doing and everything. And I'm is there anything else that you want to share with us, or anything like last glimpse of or last things you want to add?
Well, I just want to thank you both. I think what you do is amazing. You know, going out and actually, you know, talking to representatives and House leaders and just making it sure that they're hearing us at the government level, at the, you know, that is, I write to my senator all the time, and I've got a meeting with the governor come March, right? Because March is Mental Awareness Month.
That's huge.
And I, you know, last year I was able to get her to proclaim that the state of New Hampshire is celebrating March as MS Awareness Month. I got the local hotel is going to light their lights up orange.
That's huge.
Nice.
It's anybody that says no, I'm like, but let me tell you why. And the governor included. We don't agree on a lot of things, but I need her to hear me out on this MS thing. And you can't hate it, right? It's not something, this is bipartisan.
Absolutely.
You don't have to have a side. So it's great that she takes the time and will listen and actually meet with us. So I love that. And the relationship with the National MS Society that I have, like, because Block's Promise is a thing now, the navigators now have a resource within the state of New Hampshire that they didn't have before.
Nice.
That when people need help, and they might make a little too much money for them to be able to assist them, but I don't have that restraint. And somebody asked me the other day, just to finish up, why Locke's Promise doesn't have a financial limit. And I said, so I didn't go to college and get a really cool job to make a crap ton of money to have to spend it on multiple sclerosis. That wasn't my dream.
Yeah,
that's not why I wanted to go to school and become a really cool social media influencer and making a lot of money. Same with anybody else. Go on vacation with your kids. Do what you need to do. Let me remodel your bathroom. Because yes, you can afford it, but no, you did not sign up for this. This is not a choice that we made. So I don't want the money that we make that we want to send our kids to summer camp on be something that I have to pay for my medication with. So living your best life is living the fullest life with your family and being able to do it for as long as you possibly can. And when you can't, let me step in. Let Locke's Promise hold you up. And that's the thing I don't want, right? If somebody were to say, it's your kid going to volleyball camp this summer or your MS med, my kid's going to volleyball camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would have to bypass my MS meds. And that's what people are doing today. And we all know going untreated is not the best way.
No.
So it wasn't a choice for me. I was like, this is how it's going to be. There's no money. I don't care how much you make. Like, everybody's like, where's the financial requirements that I need to fill out? I'm like, you don't? Do you have MS?
Wow,
Sarah, that's huge.
That's incredibly huge. And that says so much. And that's, boy. I mean,
I'm sitting here in awe.
I think we both, Dan and I, are just completely, what a gift. And thank you so much for sharing your story and sharing all your awesome work. And we're really excited to share links about you and links about Living Out Loud. And just, we're really thankful for your time and just for the connection. And it's wonderful to talk with you today. So thank you so much, Sarah.
Absolutely. Both of you, wishing you the best in 2026. It's got to be a good year.
It is. It's destined to be, right?
Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
Well, that's awesome. Sarah, thank you. And for everyone out there, we will have things in the show notes for a link to Sarah's book, Living Out Loud, everything you need to know about Locke's Promise. And that'll be on our website, is acoupletakesonms.com. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
We are A Couple Takes on MS, and together we're moving forward. Take care.